Today's sermon is political. In the definition, dictionary definition of that word, as to and relating to the affairs of state or government or the world. I don't think there's any other way to approach this scripture reading from Isaiah. In fact, many of the prophets are political. Do you notice how the book of Isaiah begins? It tells us who Isaiah is, Amoz's son, and then it tells us the context in which Isaiah was prophesying. And it doesn't give us just years. You know, Isaiah prophesied between these dates. It tells us who the leaders were. Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, some of them good kings. At least one of them, Ahaz, we're told not a good king. Why else would Isaiah begin his book by telling us who the leaders are, if not because the leaders were who Isaiah was often prophesying to or about? Notice as well, the book begins, "You leaders of Sodom, you people of Gomorrah." This prophecy is for leaders and people, both. It's political, about how things are going in a particular kingdom, country, state, world. And what's the message to the people in Isaiah's day? God says, "I'm fed up." Repulsed, even. "I'm fed up with you. I'm fed up with you and your deeds and your worship. You bring your offerings, and they are worthless to me because you only listen to me and try to obey me during that time you come and worship. And the rest of the time, as Isaiah says later in this book, your hearts are far from me." Or as Jesus will tell the Pharisees, "You worry about cleaning the outside of the cup, meanwhile the inside of the cup is filthy. You go through the motions. Your worship does not enter into your heart and into your actions and your lives the rest of the week." Ouch. "I'm fed up," God says. "Fed up because you're not focusing on what I want you to focus on. Justice." God says, "What I want you to be paying attention to is helping the oppressed and defending the orphan and pleading for the widow." And that refrain runs throughout Scripture, usually with an added element of welcoming the stranger and the foreigner. And just to reaffirm that, I looked up some other passages that sound very much like this passage in Isaiah. This is Exodus 22. "Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Do not take advantage of the widow or the orphan. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows and your children orphans." In Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the orphan, or the widow." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." From the prophet Zechariah, "This is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the foreigner or the poor." And in Malachi chapter 3, "So I will put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the orphans, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice, but do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. You sensing the pattern here? And then just yesterday morning, I was reading through the book of James in my morning devotions and came across this in the first chapter of James. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Worship that God accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Help the oppressed, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the strangers. That's what I want you to do, God says. And I'm fed up if you're coming to worship and that's not any part of it. One of the commentators I was reading this week, Paul Simpson Duke, put it this way: worship unconcerned with justice is obscene. Ouch. Help the oppressed, the poor, the widow, the orphan. How are we doing at that? And on this level, justice, it's always about the larger group, the country, the state, community. So I was doing some thinking, pondering about some of this. Some of the issues that have been in the news recently that we are dealing with as people, as a nation, as a world. Thank God there haven't been any major mass shootings since we last gathered. There were two in 13 hours before we gathered last week. When it comes to the issue of guns and mass shootings and killings, who are the oppressed? Are the gun manufacturers the oppressed? Is the National Rifle Association the oppressed? I'm old enough to remember the days when the NRA was focused on gun safety rather than lobbying on behalf of those gun manufacturers. Are gun owners oppressed? Again, from a Christian perspective, I was pondering, does God really want individuals to own weapons that can shoot 100 bullets in 1 minute? I mean, honestly, I'm not sure God even cares about our Second Amendment. Just got to say it. Or our entire Constitution, to be honest. But we'll leave that aside. But does God want people to have weapons that can kill that many people that quickly? I mean, really. Does God want us to have nuclear weapons? That's another sermon. Are you oppressed if your government says, you know what, for the safety of everyone, we're not going to let anyone own a weapon and a magazine that allows you to shoot that many bullets that quickly? Is that oppression? Or are the oppressed those innocent victims who have, and their families, the widows and the orphans, because someone else had a weapon that could shoot that many bullets? Who is truly the oppressed? And how might we help them? In the issue of the immigration crisis we have currently, who's the oppressed? Are we this great nation, rich nation, that people are trying to come to find opportunity? Are we the oppressed in the immigration issue? Is it the families separated at the border? Families whose reasons for coming you may disagree with, but they get separated. And some of the children living in conditions that if your child went to summer camp and you discovered they were living that way, you would immediately be on the phone complaining. Who's oppressed in this immigration issue? And how do we help them? Who's oppressed when it comes to poverty in this country? Are we, the citizens, oppressed if our government tries to find ways to help those in poverty? If we have to pay more in taxes to try to help, is that oppression? Who's oppressed when the top 1% have so much wealth and so many at the bottom of that spectrum have almost nothing? When it comes to health care in this country, another crisis, who's the oppressed? The insurance companies, are they the oppressed? The private HMOs, are they oppressed? Or is it the person who needs to make a decision between spending some money on medication or buying food or paying their rent in the richest country in the world? Who's the oppressed? And how do we help them? Are white people oppressed in this country? Even when some of the other groups in this country are demanding that we give up the tiniest, tiniest, minuscule amount of the power and privilege that we've enjoyed since day one in this country, does that mean we're oppressed? Are we Christians oppressed in this country? If someone says Happy Holidays to you instead of Merry Christmas, does that mean we're oppressed? I think this reading screams at us as Christians to look at all these situations and more and always be asking that question, who are the oppressed here? And how might we help? Now, how we might help, there are a diverse, wide array of possibilities. I know some people who have their representatives and senators' phone numbers on speed dial on their phone, you know, so they can call. And some people do that. Some people write letters. Some people march and protest in person in Raleigh and Washington and other places. Some people look for ways closer to home, ways they can get involved in their own community. And folks, there are all sorts of opportunities, even here in Little Burnsville and in Yancey and Mitchell County, to get involved, to do something to help those less fortunate, more oppressed than you. Maybe just being more aware of how you treat every single person every day. I mean, I mentioned this woman who complimented my tie earlier. It's such a tiny little thing. It took her 5 seconds to tell me how she liked my tie. And it made my day. Now, that's not directly confronting oppression, but there's a lot of people who I see who look a lot less happy. And when they scowl at me, I start to get a little, if not oppressed, at least depressed. The cashier in the checkout line. When there's three people ahead of you and this cashier is doing an awful job, it's so slow and you've been waiting 20 minutes and by the time you get up there, you've already had a bad day and you're rushed. And are you going to take it out on that cashier who's making, what, $7.50 an hour maybe? Or are you going to go out of your way to say, thank you, you're having a bad day, hang in there. It's a small little thing, but you might make that person's day. You might be the only person who smiles at them the whole day. This week, go out, smile at every single person you encounter this week. Big smile to everyone. Sure, some of them are going to think you're nuts. But you know, your smile might be the only one they see the entire day. And finally, what's something else we can all do? Pray. Be lifting up in all these situations and circumstances I've mentioned and more. Lift up those who are oppressed in your prayers. And lift up the oppressors. Lift up the leaders of our country, even if you think they're doing a horrible job. Pray to God that they might find wisdom a change of heart, compassion, to do a better job. It can't hurt. I'm fed up, God says. In fact, repulsed by your worship, by your actions. You have blood on your hands. I don't know about you, but when I hear words like that, that God is fed up, especially with worship, that makes me tremble in my boots and fall on my knees and strive to try to do better. I don't want God fed up with me. Amen.